Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? Well, who's been away on holidays the last couple of weeks? Anyone been away? There were a few people away from church last week, just so you know. We have doubled in size in a week, which is amazing. Great job, everyone. Great job. I just wanted to honour someone this morning before I started, and this person was here. I didn't know they were coming, but my first ever youth pastor is here in the building today. Very special to have Dave and Emily Molyneux. Where are you guys? Where are they? They're up the back there today, so let's welcome them here to church today. So great to have you guys here, who had so much to do with so many of our young people, and I mean, I'm not that young anymore, but back in the day, and they're growing up and we're still here, and it's so much to do with what you guys put into us as young people. So thank you so much for all you've done and all you're continuing to do. You guys are great. Why don't you turn to the person next to you before we start, ask them what they're having for lunch today, and if it's any good, ask them if you can come over and have some too. Very good. Any invites? Any invites around? Maybe, maybe not. Follow up with it after church. Church, Pastor Graham and Chris obviously have been away for a few weeks on an amazing family holiday with their family, with their children and their grandchildren. They will be back in church next week, back in the office this week. We're looking forward to having them back. And I don't know if you noticed, if anyone walks through the foyer, we have carpet in our foyer. There is carpet downstairs, and it is amazing. So head on down there. That happened this week, and it's amazing what carpet can do to a build, to a room. It feels amazing down there. So have a look. Anyway, so we are continuing with our series, This Is Living Now. And I'm not sure about you, but I've really enjoyed this series and enjoyed hearing from a few different people over the weeks as we've really looked at the foundational truths of Christianity. And this is going to be message number 8 out of 9. So our last one is with Pastor Chris next week. And if you haven't been keeping up with it, I encourage you to grab the podcast. Jump on the website, lmc.org.au, and you can jump on and find all of the sermons that we've had regarding this series. Nick spoke a great message last week on family, on church family, and Pete Berry a couple of weeks ago on the Bible. Who was here for the Bible message from Pete Berry? Man, super, super stuff. So I encourage you to listen to that again. And just going back to that message, I was thinking about it as Peter was speaking, and I wanted to share with you a resource that I've been using over the last little while with my daily reading with the Word. And I want to show you on the screen. It's an app that I've been using. It's called Read Scripture. And let me just, so this is what it looks like. Read Scripture. You can download it from the App Store or Google Play or anywhere else that you can get it. And I wanted to show you because who knows that anything that gets us reading the Word of God more is a good thing. And so this, Kay, if you can give me this, that'll be great. Oh, here we go. It's working. So Read Scripture app. So what it is an app that really breaks up the Bible and contextualizes everything for you. And so it breaks it up into these sections, and you can read this one day at a time to get you through the whole Bible in a year, or you can read it at your own pace, however you really like. I've got it set up to read through in a year. And say we'll go to creation and fall, and it'll break it up, and you've got each of these different days where it breaks it up into about 20-minute chunks. So you can read the Word for 20 minutes. What's so great, what I really enjoy about this way of reading it is these guys who have made this app, have put the Bible together like this. They've made these videos to go along with it. We've viewed some of them in church, called Read Scripture. And so see up the top there, we've got video Genesis 1 to 11. And so what it does, as you're reading through the Bible, you get every few days or every few weeks, you get one of these videos, which provides amazing context to exactly what you're reading on that day. And so you can watch the video, you can understand everything that's going on in that chapter or in that book and bring it back to just that that one day. So it's really great. I've really enjoyed it. So thanks, Kay. You can pop that back up. So Read Scripture if you're interested, and it looks like something that you would take advantage of. I encourage you to grab that because it is really, really cool. So, of course, you can play around with it as much as you want and do what you want. Okay, so we'll put a link on the website, on our website, maybe tomorrow, so you guys can have a look. It's all in one place. So this is Living Now. Our purpose behind doing this series at church And so make sure that we remember the foundational truths of our faith in Jesus as taught in the Word of God, and be reminded that we need to be applying these to our lives daily. Because who knows that often revelation, even when it's of the simplest thing, can sometimes be the most powerful. You know, we can know it and we can hear it so many times, but until something drops and until we get revelation of that thing, it's just knowledge. It's knowledge, but then it goes to something we can apply. So now with most weeks, starting with Pastor Graham when he started, we've learnt some new features about our phones. What does the iPhone do that we didn't know that it did? Or, you know, we've been using the iPhones, and this is symbolic of the fact that as we learn more about God's word and apply it to our lives, the better and more effective we can become. So the more we're learning about it, the more efficient we can be, and all that. So I was thinking about what to use, and who knew that there was that your iPhone could translate for you? Did you know that? Few people. If you go to France, or if you go to Spain, or if you go to where else was it? If you go to China, you can simply take your iPhone and you can say, "Translate, how do I get to the Eiffel Tower into French?" And it'll just speak out, "Eiffel Tower" or something. In a lot better lingo than that. So that you're not fumbling around, so that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty fancy, I think. But the one I wanted to show you today was, I'm not sure if you're aware, I need help. So can someone come on, Pete, come up here and help me. Give Pete a hand. Come on. Pete Nelson, everybody. So hold my phone. So just in case you are, you're around home and you've got kids and they're mucking around with water or anything like that. And you get it spilt, then you can, like, now does my phone still work? Yeah. It's fine, everybody. It's fine. Phones are now water resistant. Did you know that? Some of them. Please don't. Thanks, man. If your phone's not at least a couple of years old, please don't try that at home. Because you will be up for a few hundred dollars to replace your phone. So you can take your phone in the pool, in the shower, wherever you want. Like, whatever you want to do. But please be careful. Please be careful. It seems unnatural to me, but it's working. Somehow they've got it to work. It's magic. It's magic. So it's one thing to know the features. But it's another thing to actually use them and use them how God instructs us to use them and apply them to our lives. And we keep rolling this scripture out, and it's so important to have it at the tip of our tongue and to remember John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we move on so quickly from there, but I want us to just remember that right now. The thief only comes in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. Any evil and the temptations that come our way, their purpose from the enemy is to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us. But there is good news. And Jesus says that I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So we absolutely need to keep diving into the Word of God to find His truth in order to allow His Word to impact our lives. And after all, the purpose of this series, and we didn't call this series, "This is Knowing Now." It's not about "This is Knowing Now." It's "This is Living Now." We come, we hear, and then we go out and put it into action. Let's open our Bibles if you've got it here today, which I'd expect you would since we're in church. James, Book of James. Book of James, chapter 1, verse 22 to 24. Those who have done the James course here at church would know this well. It says this, if you haven't got it in your hand. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So what it's saying is, he's like a man who goes and looks at himself in the mirror, and goes, "Oh yeah, okay, so I can see that maybe I need to clean my face up here, or maybe I need to get a haircut here, or I need to fix that part of my face." But then he walks away from the mirror and forgets any of what needed to happen that he saw in the mirror. And it's like, as we read the Word of God and as we hear the Word of God, And as we see in the mirror what the Word of God is saying about us, what Jesus is saying about us, but then we go away, we do nothing about it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, see in the Word of God where you're at and actually do something about it. Let's do something about it. So let's not be hearers, but let's be doers of the Word of God. So the next foundational truth we're going to talk about today is this. Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. And I'm not sure if you've noticed, but we as a church, we do our best not to overemphasize any particular part of the Word of God, but we will try and give a great balance, when we speak here from the platform. And to that end, you don't often hear us speaking on giving in a monetary sense, but giving is an absolutely essential part of our growth as a Christian. Absolutely essential. And I think as we dig deeper into the Word of God, we're able to develop a great understanding of God's instruction to us regarding the giving of our finances. And you may think that's a big statement, that giving is an essential part of our Christian growth. And when you think about it in light of what else we've spoken about in this series, we look at Holy Spirit and prayer and sharing our faith and the Bible, salvation, family, baptism, tithes and offerings, God relationships next week. We think of that tithes and offerings and we think, man, Andy, there are so many other important things that we can be hearing about and we can be preaching about. What about tithes and offerings? What's the point of that? But, I'm just skipping around here. Oh, Star Wars in the house. But I want to challenge that thinking today. I want to challenge the fact that we think that giving may be down a couple of pegs on the importance scale. And to help us see how giving, in particular the giving of our finances, can have a dynamic effect on so many areas of our lives. Not only our lives, but the lives of people around us. So Jesus taught in many places about the importance of being unselfish in life. And more than taught, he lived the perfect example of this. He lived a sinless life with the very nature of a servant. Jesus was a giver, and indeed the most selfless and generous giver, I would say, of all time. He, with no regard for his own wants or desires, completely surrendered himself to the will of his Father. So as we continue to work on this, and as Pastor Graham would say, taking self off the throne, in becoming less selfish and more selfless, in saying, God, not my will, but yours be done, please consider this, that giving, I believe, more than any other principle in the Bible, it works selfishness out of our lives. Giving more than any other principle works selfishness out of our lives. You might have heard it preached when it comes to giving before, that we give to get. We give so that the blessing comes back, and we give to get. But what does that do? That just helps selfishness come back into our lives, because the purpose of it is getting in the end. But it's not give to get, it's give to give. Give to give in an unselfish way. So we as a church, I want to acknowledge us as our people as a church, and we are extremely blessed to have people here who are so obedient when it comes to the word of God, when it comes to their giving. And I honor you guys for the obedient step that you have taken many years ago and continue to make to allow our church to be the church that it is and to do what it does in our community. Let's turn to the word of God. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 14, verses 19 to 20. And this is where the first recorded tithe was ever given. And it was from Abraham to Melchizedek. Abraham to Melchizedek, who is in the Bible, it describes Melchizedek as a priest of God Most High. Melchizedek also being a type of Jesus, which you can read about further in Hebrews 7. So it says this, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. So Abraham, as a response to the Lord delivering him from his enemies, gave a tithe of all he had. About 100 years later from this, we see Jacob as well.
And Jacob also responding in this way. And it says in Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22, "Then Jacob made a vow saying, 'If God will be with me and keep me in his way, the way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all of that which you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you.'" And here Jacob has just had a dream where God has shown him the land that he will give Jacob and his descendants and promises never to leave him until all of this has come to pass. And it's out of this promise and blessing that Jacob willingly says he will give a tenth back to God. So we see it's a response again. So we hear in church from time to time, when we talk about tithe, we talk about 10% of our income. And where does that come from in the Word of God? Well, the word tithe in Hebrew is actually masia, masia, meaning a tenth or 10%. That's literally what it means. And it's written many times throughout Scripture being referenced at 10%. But we're going to look at that a little further later on in the message. The next time we see tithe is when Moses is giving the law to the people of Israel a little while later again. And we read about this here in Leviticus. And church, it's really important that we're going through all this because the Old Testament matters so that we can further understand the New Testament. They work hand in hand. It's not one or the other. It is together. And so it's important we're going back through this. So go with me on it. Leviticus 27, 30, 34. "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's." And back then, it wasn't just tithing of money alone. It was tithing of the produce of the land. It was the tithing of the livestock, whatever they had. "It is holy to the Lord," it says in verse 31. "If a man wants to redeem any of his tithe, as if he wants to sell it back as his produce, then he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, or whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed." And so it was very clear to the people of Israel that in whatever they produced or whatever livestock they had, it was a no-brainer that we are giving 10%, we are giving a tenth of it back to God. And in that action, they remember just what God has done for them. That response. Let's open up one more here. And this is Malachi 3. Let's look at Malachi 3. We're looking at verses 6 to 10. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And if you look at the Old Testament in its entirety, you see how the people of God, they came to God and then they would walk away from God and then they would come back to God and then they would walk away from God. And this would happen so often in the Old Testament. And so when we come to the prophet Malachi, he's speaking here where the people of God have walked away. They've become corrupt. They've become selfish. They've been looking at themselves. And this is where the scripture comes in. He talks about a bunch of stuff in Malachi, but it says this. In chapter 3, verse 6 to 10, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances." Simply, my ordinances meaning the principle of ordinary behavior, the ordinary behavior that they're going on, "and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." Oh, am I following? "But you said, 'In what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me.' But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and they may be food, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts." So I underlined that. That's not underlined in the Bible. That's just me underlining that on the screen. And God is saying here, test me in this. Try me in this. Try me in this. Not tempt or test me out of doubt, but he's inviting us to say, come on, give like I've called you to give and just watch what I will do. And this is what he says. "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Tithing is a test. And when does it become a test for us? Every time we get paid. It's a test. Every single time we get paid. Every time you put together your budget and see how much is going out in tithe, it's a test. One God is inviting each and every one of us to participate in. And this is where it's really important to realize that although it's about the money, it's not actually about the money. Do you understand what I'm saying? Although it's about the money, it's not actually about the money. It's a test for us because of the value money holds right here, right now. And it's proof to God who we're putting first in our lives. Jesus speaks here in Matthew 6:21. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So tithing, it's a test. So what is tithe? 10% of their income, the produce of the land. But it doesn't stop there. And again, I said we're going to look at that in a minute. So what do we do with our tithe? What do we do with our tithe? Bring it to the storehouse. In Malachi, by storehouse, he was referring to the temple of Jerusalem. The house of God. And what is the house of God in today's day and age? The local church. But hear it right. This is not... the idea of bringing your tithe to the church is not simply bringing it for a payment of services to the local church. That's not what it's about at all. It's simply bringing back and giving to God ultimately what was already His to begin with. What is His to begin with? So we can sometimes get hung up on the amount that we give and forget about the amount that He's allowing us to continue to steward in our own lives. Psalm 24, verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness." 100% is God's anyway. But it's this simple shift in mindset, I think, that can change our attitude when it comes to giving. I want to example this a little bit here. And we were talking about lunch before, and I don't know about you, but it's about this time in church that sometimes my mind starts wandering to what am I going to have for lunch today and what am I going to eat after church, especially if I haven't eaten breakfast. I was thinking it would be great to take the family out for lunch today after church. That might be nice. But I need some cash. I don't have any cash. Has anybody got any cash that they could sort of give me? Has anyone got some cash? Anybody? No? Aaron? Oh, what a nice man. $50. Woo. Thanks, mate. That's very nice of you. It's very nice of you. So, that'll be nice. Aaron, let me just ask you, was that a hard thing for you to give me that money? Not really, he said, if you can hear him. It wasn't a hard thing for him to give me that money. And do you know why it wasn't a hard thing? It's because I gave him the money before the service started. It's my $50 to begin with. So it wasn't hard for him. But do you hear what I'm saying? It was mine to begin with. It's mine to begin with. So when he gives it back to me, it's not so much of a big deal because I understand it's yours anyway. You know what I'm saying? It changes. It changes when we know where it's coming from. The blessing, the finances are His to begin with. It changes the way we approach our giving completely. But what part of our income is tithe? What part of our income? Right back in Exodus, God instructed His people to give the first. Exodus 13, verse 1, it says this: "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. It is mine.' The firstborn was to be sacrificed or redeemed, to be given to God. And He says, 'It is mine.' Why the first? Why the first? Because when you're thinking about a crop or when you're thinking about a sheep and its offspring, it takes faith to give the first. Because sometimes you don't know what's coming after that. Therefore, when we come with the first, it takes our faith. It takes faith to do that. And it's about the first fruits. Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. It's enough in that right here. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There is a blessing associated with this step of obedience. And I'm sure if we opened up here at the church, we would hear testimony after testimony of people who were obedient in this step and just saw God open the doors for them in many different areas of their life. And that's what's so great about God. And when it comes to the blessings of God, you know, we can give in one area of our lives and see blessing in another or so many others. It doesn't have to be just we give and God blesses us financially. It's we give and God blesses us in the area of relationships, or he blesses us in the area of whatever else is going on, our circumstances at work or whatever it may be. I think it's so great. It's so great. So giving God the first out of our increase. Pastor Graham has challenged us in the past as well when it comes to the first of our increase. And we can sometimes think about tithe and we think about our regular income that we have, but there are other things that, there are other ways that that God blesses us in regard to real estate, in regard to bonuses and other bits and pieces that, again, it's all coming back to the first of our increase. First of our increase. So we've looked a lot at the Old Testament, what it says, but I want to look at what Jesus says in the New Testament about tithing and offering. And Jesus himself mentions it in Matthew here, Matthew 23, verse 23. And he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Man, Matthew 23 is just full of Jesus just going bang, bang, bang to these guys. "Hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So it's not just about going after these other weightier matters. It's these, yes, this, and. Yes, and. Also the other. So it's condensed. Man, as I was reading and doing study on this, man, there is so much. There is so much in the Word of God regarding our giving. And it's like hard to do it justice in just one message. So I encourage you to go out and dig yourself. Mind the word, as Pastor Graham would say. Mind the word and dig yourself and see what God is challenging you about. But as I condense it, as condensed as I can make it, here are some truths about tithing from the Old Testament through to Jesus and the New Covenant. But it's as we understand this in a deeper way, just who Jesus is calling us to be, that we understand how this applies to us as Christians today. And here's where it goes from this is knowing God to this is knowing now to this is living now. Because when it comes to giving, it's not about the money. Giving is about the attitude of our heart. It's not about the money. It's about the attitude of our heart. Does God need our money? No. No. Yes, amen. Does God need our money? No. You know, I think when we think about giving someone a present, for example, we give someone a present so they can have enjoyment out of that present, and we want to see their face, and they really love it, and it's a present for you. It's for you. But when it comes to giving, and giving of our finances to God, we give our finance to God and we say, "God, this is yours." For God to enjoy, we give because we give for our sake, for that process, for that the learning that we have through that surrendering, through that giving. God understands what it can do to us as we give to get that selfishness out of our lives. That's why it is an instruction to us. And I believe that if we start to be obedient in even this one area, it's like a domino effect to so many other areas in our lives. Listen to this story here. Mark 12, 41 to 44. "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people brought money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants." And I did some research on this, and the two mites, make a quadrants, was equivalent to about 12 minutes of an average wage which today is about $7, $7. So she came and she put that in. So as he called in verse 43, so as he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. That is a big call. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So church, it's not even about the amount. It's not about the amount at all. It's about the response of our heart to the revelation that God loved us so much that he gave all. He gave his one and only son to give us life and life to the full, where we will not perish, but we'll have everlasting life. That is what giving is about. We don't have anything worth without Christ. Tithing is not something to be done out of obligation. Tithing is something to be done out of revelation. Not obligation, revelation. And we've talked about tithe being 10% of our income and our first fruits, but if we look at the example that Jesus set and Jesus taught in the New Testament under the New Covenant, we are called to live to a higher calling even, with a greater level of responsibility. And really, 10% is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. In Luke 12, 48, Jesus says this, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And for the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We have been blessed to be a blessing. And I know that as we as a church continue to listen to what God is saying to each one of us regarding our giving, that he will not only bless us, but he'll bless those around us who are receiving from our generous hearts. I love to think of it that way. God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do through our obedience in this subject in the future. Let's bow our heads, church. And maybe if we could have the worship team up, that would be great. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we are able not to just walk through life aimlessly, but we have your word to give us direction. You sent Jesus to save us all and to be a great example for all of us. And Father, as we acknowledge that this can be a difficult subject for all of us at some point, and that it can take a big step and a big step of faith to come in line with your word and what it says about giving. Father, I pray that through this process that we would understand and catch even more of a glimpse of your love for us, of how much you gave for us. And Lord, my prayer today is that as we take this step of obedience, Father, that we would see breakthrough in areas of our life that we need to see breakthrough in. Father, we would see you glorified in those areas as we take this simple step of giving. Lord, let this not be a subject that we hear about at work, hear about at church, and we go home and do nothing about. Father, I pray that we can not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. You know, you might be sitting here with all eyes closed, and this might be new to you. Church might be new to you. Christianity might be new to you, and you're just thinking, "Man, I'm just struggling to live as it is with what's coming in." And let me tell you, it is really hard to start. But in that step of obedience, you're inviting God into your situation and saying, God, I'm relinquishing control right now and I'm giving it over to you. And know this, that God is looking at your heart. Right now, it is not even about the amount. God is looking at your heart. And he's asking you to give not out of obligation, not out of guilt, but out of revelation and with a cheerful heart. So I want you to just take a moment right now to allow the Holy Spirit to drop something into your heart. To allow Him to speak to you and challenge you in this area of your life. And just before we sing, if you're in church today, if you're here and you're hearing this and you've heard some of the truths that we've had, if you've never made a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, then we would love to pray with you to allow that happen today. It doesn't need to take another week. It doesn't need to take another day. It doesn't need to take another hour. We can do that right now. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're here and you want to say, Jesus, I want to make you Lord over my life. Jesus, I want to make you Lord over my relationships. Jesus, I want to make you Lord over my finances. If that's you today, why don't you just pop your hand up and I'll pray for you after the service. Is anyone here today? Yeah, if that is you, I would love to chat to you after the service. Because this is the most important decision that you can make in your life. Father God, we thank you for what you've done in our hearts today. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Father, we make a decision right now to not hear the word and go away and do nothing about it. But we want to hear the word and be doers of your word. And to see you glorified through those steps of obedience. We pray these things in Jesus' name.